is good to be with you here on this Labor Day weekend. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. Whether you're joining us here in the sanctuary or you're joining us online, we're glad to have this opportunity to worship together. As you might imagine, as we enter into the unofficial start of fall, we do have quite a bit happening here at the church. And so I have several announcements on how to connect with the life and mission of Midland First. To begin with, I'm going to hand things off to Nancy Peeler, who serves as our co-leader for our legacy team. Nancy?
Good morning, church. On behalf of the legacy team and the celebration team, I just wanted to share information about Celebration Sunday coming up on September 21st. It all began with a challenge to the congregation way back in 1941. To build a new church to house the growing congregation. And 75 years ago, on September 10th, they realized their dream and held the first service in this sanctuary. They truly built a legacy to support us to serve the Lord. Some of our past clergy will be returning to celebrate with us, and we would like to ask you to invite your friends and family to also celebrate that day, especially people who have worshiped in this church in the past. After the service, we will have a luncheon, and we are asking you to RSVP for that luncheon because it will give us a head count, help us plan better. There is a pew card you should be able to find, and it has either a QR code or you can fill it out and drop it in the collection plate. You are also welcome to call the office. We ask that you RSVP by September 15th. After lunch, we will have a few activities to kind of help people learn more about the building. And we will be putting out a call for volunteers soon to help with some of those activities and help with baking cookies and assisting with setup and things like that. And last, in honor of Labor Day, we want to express gratitude to all the workers who helped build this building. Many of the members of the congregation put in many, many hours of labor to wash bricks and lay bricks, to put up plaster and mix plaster, varnish these beautiful pulpits, lay floors, and that kind of thing. So as you go through your weekend, if you would keep them in mind in your prayers, we thank them and look forward to seeing you on September 21st. Thank you.
Nancy, thank you for the reminder of that special day coming up here. Next, we're going to go to Pastor Bethany with an announcement about our kickoff Sunday next week. Pastor Bethany?
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Indeed, our kickoff Sunday will be next Sunday, September 7th, and it will be the theme of Magnified, which follows our VBS, and so it'll be expanded to include all of the congregation, and we're excited about that. We want to let you know that it will be something of a smaller celebration because we do have our 75th anniversary coming up, and we will not be having a meal. We'll be having some snacks, but not a full meal. And that will be out on Fitzhugh Street, which is closer to my left. And so we encourage you then to exit and go to your left onto Fitzhugh Street next week, where we'll have some snacks and games. Thank you.
Next, we're going to have an announcement from one of our ministries, our Caring Card Ministry, with a joy to serve, share. And so I'm going to hand things off to Barb McGivern, who has that announcement. Barb?
Thank you. I'm a member of the... Is this on?
Yes, it's on.
I'm a member of the Caring Cards team, and Cheryl Hunt is now the chair of that. And she's unable to be here this morning. She asked me to make this report for you. The Caring Cards team has money that they earn through selling their Caring Cards. And it's been used to help with the schooling and support and costs for Nika. You see her picture here, Nika Joseph. She's a young Haitian girl who came to the Haitian Foundation Against Poverty as a baby. Caring Cards has financially supported Nika for many years, beginning with the Caring Cards program led initially by Carolyn Gunkler, now led by Cheryl Hunt. Nika graduated at the top of her class. She will now be working part-time with the foundation, a school started in the country, using her degree from computer training school to teach students on the tablets that they recently received. She also will be looking for a job where she will use her computer skills. Everyone on the Caring Card team are so pleased, having contributed to NICA's support, her schooling, and her success. Actually, all of you who have purchased her cards can be part of her success. So we wish NICA continued success and know she will do great things for her students and be a blessing to them and her community. So thank you so much for your support.
Barb, thank you for sharing that good news from our Caring Card Ministry. It's amazing to think what happens, one little act of kindness at a time, whether that's extending a greeting to a friend or expression of sympathy, or whether it's supporting this ministry that we might make a difference in other people's lives. Those cards are available always in our reception area. Invite you to continue to support the missions that are supported through our Caring Card Ministry. Thank you to all who participate in that ministry as well. I do have several other announcements to highlight for you. If you're keeping track of everything, 2 weeks from today, we'll have our annual fire drill here on Sunday morning during our 10 o'clock service. During the drill, those who are in the sanctuary will be asked to remain in place, whereas our children who are in Sunday school will be led outside by their teachers and helpers to the corner of Fitzhugh and Larkin. Those in the nursery will also be remaining in place. Invite you to turn to our weekly email, our e-blast, for additional details on this. Also, this coming Monday, so tomorrow, September 1, of course, in observance of Labor Day, the church office will be closed. We'll return to our regular church office hours, which is Monday through Thursday, 9 to 3. We'll return to those regular hours the next day on September 2nd. So if you can take note of that, we would appreciate it. With all that, I'm going to encourage you to go through your weekly e-blast to make sure you're keeping up with what's happening. If you aren't receiving those email messages, please, and you'd like, please reach out to the church office. We'd be happy to include you on that distribution list. Now, Ivy, our friend, will be gathering us back together this morning after a brief time of greeting one another. Afterwards, we ask that you remain standing for our call to worship. So I invite you to stand and to greet those who are around you this Labor Day weekend.
Please stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice.
Friends, I ask you to remain standing for our opening songs, the Spirit Song, which you can find words on the screen, or you can use your hymnal. It is number 347. verse 1.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with his Spirit and his love. Let him fill your heart and satisfy your soul.
Can I have the children come forward, please? Hey, Bryson, how are you today? Hi, Katie, how's it going? Hi, Silas. How'd your week go at school today? Was it good?
Yeah.
Yeah? Hi, Andrew. That's great. Okay, so today, good morning, everybody. Today in Sunday school, we are focusing on Psalm 117, verse 1. The psalmist writes, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Wow, that's pretty powerful. This is a hymn of praise and thanksgiving to God for his goodness and wondrous works. As we take inspiration from Jesus, I wonder how we will share his enduring goodness and love this week. We're going to talk about that in Sunday school today. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you because you are good. Your love lasts forever. Thank you for keeping us safe, for providing food, and surrounding us with your love. Help all of us to remember, especially those who are struggling, your goodness, and to live thankfully with gratitude every day. Amen. All right, let's go have fun in Sunday school, guys.
Thank you.
Offering. And as the ushers come forward, I invite you to also sign the red friendship pads in your pews. We love to know who's here and we love to get to know our neighbors, especially if you are new with us. And so I invite you to sign that and then pass it down to the end of the row. And I also invite you to reflect on all the ways that God has blessed you today. Will the ushers please come forward?
There's a long black train coming down the line, feeding off the souls that are lost and crying. Trails of sin, only evil remains. Watch out, brother, for that long black train. Look to the heaven, you can look to the sky. You can find redemption back into your eyes. Fires of redemption, and there's peace the same. Turn in your tears. brother, for that long black train. That devil's riding that long black train.
Lord God, we do praise you for who you are and for all you have given to us, because we know that all that we have to give is all that we have been given by you. Lord, we pray that you bless these gifts and use them to your honor and glory so that they might build up your kingdom on this earth. We pray all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 14, verses 1 and then 7 through 14. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. One Sabbath day, Jesus went to eat dinner in the home of a leader of the Pharisees, and the people were watching him closely. When Jesus noticed that all who had come to dinner were trying to sit in the seats of honor near the head of the table, he gave them this advice. When you are invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor. What if someone who is more distinguished than you has also been invited? The host will come and say, "Give this person your seat." Then you will be embarrassed, and you will have to take whatever seat is left at the foot of the table. Instead, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. Then, when your host sees you, he will come and say, "Friend, I have a better place for you." Then you will be honored in front of all the other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then he turned to his host. "When you put on a luncheon or a banquet," he said, "do not invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then, at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I have to note before the sermon that Wayne and to the band, you're rekindling my desire in the 90s to have a pair of cowboy boots. Don't know that I could pull it off, but I sure appreciate music during our offering. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I admit to having a deepening aversion to being uncommon, to being different, to being the odd one out. Most of the time, I prefer not to stand out in a crowd, so long as we're not engaging in anything immoral, unethical, illegal. For the most part, I'm one to go with the flow. If you ask me why, I blame this on my first day in eighth grade. Because on the first day of school in eighth grade, I wore a two-toned pair of Jordache jeans. As if wearing a pair of Jordache jeans was not enough, I chose for the first day to wear a two-toned pair of Jordache jeans. See, the front and back of the jeans, they were your regular denim material, but there was 2 or 3 inches in between this panel of gray-toned denim. I don't know if Jordache is popular today. I see some heads shaking no. But it wasn't popular back then. All of this was not in a good kind of way or a cool kind of way, kind of like, you got the latest Android or iPhone phone. It was the bad kind of standing out. So to this day, I'm convinced this laid the foundation for my aversion to being uncommon. The fact of the matter is, most of us have this aversion to being different from the rest. Yes, on the one hand, to some degree or another, we outgrow it. Yet on the other, and to varying degrees, most, if not all of us, hold on to this aversion. We long to be accepted and fitting in. Most of us find the glare of the spotlight to be uncomfortable. And many of us are okay with the attention falling on someone else. Now, there are times when our aversion to being uncommon is inconsequential. There's nothing wrong with practicing some social etiquette and going with the flow. At times, it's even necessary for how we function. So, for example, I've learned over the past few years as my son has grown up and I've participated in picking him up from school at various times, that sometimes you have to go with the flow. Take, for example, pickup time at elementary school. If parents didn't go with the flow, it becomes pretty intolerable. At one school that my son attended, the pickup line stretched for about half a mile. You could show up a half an hour early and already there's someone waiting in line. So as you might imagine, there's a certain etiquette and flow to how we function. So you go with the flow, and even you go with the flow, even with a parent who chooses not to go with the flow and chooses to cut into this half. I'm seeing some head shaking. So some of you know, right? They choose to cut in line, even though there's this line, and you just go with the flow. Doing life together requires a certain degree of dancing and fitting in for it to work. And as you might imagine, this is true of other areas in our lives. With some degree of willingness on everyone's part to go with the flow, life works. And without it, it becomes difficult at times to function. But what about those times when we're called to be different? What about those times when, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we are called to be different? What about those times when his teachings and his life call us out? Call us out to be the odd ones and unlike the rest. What happens when, like in this instance, we're being called to practice an uncommon sort of hospitality? such as the case in our Bible reading today from the Gospel of Luke chapter 14. At the very beginning of chapter 14, the table is set. We find Jesus there at a home of a Pharisee, an expert in the Jewish law. And he is seated for dinner with this leader of the Pharisees. There are other Pharisees at the table, other experts in the law. Now, for you and me, this setting might not catch our attention. After all, for many busy families today, the seats and center consoles in our cars sometimes serve as the dining room table throughout the week. But back then, back in Jesus' time, what took place at the dinner table mattered. It still matters today, but that's another sermon for another day. The point I want to make this morning is the fact that the ensuing conversation, the lesson that was spoken at that table, took place around the dinner table. And this is Luke's way of telling us, of saying to his audience, that we ought to pay attention to about what's to happen. Because that back then, life's lessons, life's wisdom was imparted around the dinner table. In other words, what was shared was meant to be formational for those who sat around the table. Consider the fact that it was at the dinner table that Jesus introduced us to the Lord's Supper. Or you might want to consider after the resurrection, when Jesus was raised from the dead, where was it that the two travelers on the way to Emmaus recognized Jesus for who he was? It's around the dinner table. Or in the book of Acts, it was around a dinner table that Jesus shared the promise of the Holy Spirit, and it was around a dinner table that the church became one, Jews and Gentiles, unbelievers and believers. So more so than just idle chit-chat, this is Jesus telling us how things ought to be different in the kingdom of God. How things should be anywhere and everywhere we expect to find God, to find God to be present. And so in this setting, Jesus says in verses 12 through 14, as paraphrased by Eugene Peterson in The Message, in other words, this is his way of, Eugene Peterson's way of putting it, the next time you put on a dinner, don't just invite your friends and family and rich neighbors, the kind of people who will return the favor. Invite some people who never get invited out. The misfits from the wrong side of the tracks. You'll be and experience a blessing. See, this is the kind. In Jesus' time, hospitality was reciprocal. Being kind was reciprocal. It was intentionally transactional. If I invited you over for dinner or extended some kind of mercy or extended some kind of kindness to you, it was understood that I had the expectation that you would do the same for me. That further down the road, you would be extending me kindness. That somewhere down the road, you would be offering me a table, a place at your table. At least that's how hospitality was understood back then. This was their way of going with the flow. This is their way for how society was meant to function. That was how hospitality was understood back then. The problem is, back then, and even today when we practice that approach to hospitality, We understand hospitality. We understand mercy. We understand grace as a means to an end. I'll extend kindness to you or grace to you. And with this common approach to life and hospitality, we miss out on so much. We miss out on seeing what is sacred about every individual, regardless of whatever tag or whatever qualifier we might put in place. Practicing this kind of hospitality, we miss out on seeing what is beautiful and expansive when we invite others into our lives and around our dinner table without condition. Most of all, we miss out on the blessings God has for us when we practice what Jesus talked about around his table. Jesus said, invite some people who never get invited out. The misfits from the wrong side of the tracks. You'll be an experience, a blessing. So from your perspective or from your seat at the table, who are the quote-unquote misfits? Who's being cast aside in our community? Whether intentionally or unintentionally. Who are those who would feel uncomfortable among us? Who are those most would be inclined to keep at arm's length, and yet are the very ones whom Jesus would invite to his table? What are the ways that we can keep making room at our table here at Midland First so that we can help other misfits like you and like me with knowing, loving, and sharing Jesus Christ? When we really think about it, the answers to these questions are not easy. Far from being rhetorical, they cut to the heart of the matter here and the heart of who the church is. Thanks be to God that Jesus has shown us the way to keep practicing this sort of table talk even today. Amen? Amen. 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 Friends, as we gather with one another in this time of prayer coming up, I invite you to be mindful of a number of our families who have lost loved ones in recent days. And so you'll see in your bulletin this morning that we extend our sympathies to Michelle and Brad Barr and their family on the death of Michelle's father, Larry Sullivan, who passed away on August 20th. We also extend our prayers and sympathies to Leslie and Doug Hiltonen, along with Aaron and Allison and Douglas and their families, on the death of Leslie's mother, Janet Haskell, who also passed away on August 20th. And we're also mindful of Ted Broadwell and his family on the death of Barb Broadwell, Ted's wife, who passed away on August 16th. And so let us remember our families who are carrying the loss of loved ones with them today. Let us pray. God, this morning, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the invitation that you have extended through your grace that has given us a place at your table. We give you thanks for the sense of belonging that we feel and know. Having been invited to abide with you. And at the same time, O Lord, through this lesson recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke, we're reminded of the words that Jesus spoke around his table. Words of welcome and belonging in humble humility. And these words challenge us, oh God, because no matter where we sit at your table, we are mindful of those with whom we might not be as comfortable, with those who come from different walks of life, with those who might hold different understandings, with those for one reason or another our world, our community would push aside. And yet because of the words that Jesus spoke and the lessons that he taught, we know that they too have a room, place and a seat at your table. So, Lord, as we go about our week, remind us of the blessings we have because you have invited us. And show us those opportunities that we have to invite others around our table. And Lord, when we act upon those nudges from the Holy Spirit and when we lean upon the courage that you give us, we pray that you would show up and transform the lives of those you are inviting in our own. That indeed we might be a blessing as we too are blessed. And Lord, as we walk through these coming weeks, we do remember families among us who carry the loss of loved ones. Whose very task is to take on a new rhythm. As they continue to live out the legacy of their loved ones, their love that perhaps was expressed around their own dining room tables. And so we lift up the families of Larry Sullivan, Janet Haskell, and Barb Broadwell. Lord, we pray that in walking alongside them, you would comfort them, would encourage them, that you would bring up the memories that they cherish, the lessons that have been taught, and the grace lived out. Indeed, O Lord, continue to call us your table, that we might know your hope and grace. All this we pray through Jesus, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as you are able, and to join us in our closing hymn, Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy. You'll find this on page 340 of the hymnal, or on the screen in front of you. Like you, on many Sunday mornings, I share a lot of conversations coming into the sanctuary. And one of our conversations this morning came up, if Jesus was at our church today, where would he be? Right? If Jesus was at our church today, where would he be? I gave that question a thought, and I thought, I think Jesus would be serving friendship lunch this morning. The meal that this church has served for many years. To those who need a meal, to those who need to connect, to those who come to the table. And it's not hard to imagine where else Jesus might be if with us today. I think he's with the eighth grader who wears two-tone Jordache jeans on the first day of school and has no one breaking out to him at the lunch table. I think Jesus is with the widow who's finding a new rhythm in life. I think Jesus is looking to be with those who want to belong. And so where might in your week you find Jesus? And how might you invite others to the table that we sit at? Amen? Amen.